without faith. You can't live in victory without faith. You can't expect God to answer prayer or do anything in your life without faith. Faith is the key to living the Christian life. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So the question today is this: are you living by faith? Are you all in faith? And that's the title of my message this morning: All in Faith. Heavenly Father, thank You for everyone who is here. Thank You for Your presence, the presence of Your Holy Spirit in this place. Thank You for Your Word. I pray as we look into Your Word today that You would speak to us, to every heart, to every life, to every need, to every situation. And I pray that You would challenge us and that You would also encourage us, that You would strengthen us today in our faith. And Lord, one more time, I ask You to send Your anointing and Your empowering to be upon me, to enable me to preach this message and to share Your Word with Your people, that all can be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn your attention to that great chapter in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. One of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And we're going to be looking at various verses throughout this chapter. But let's begin by reading the first 10 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And let's just jump down to two more verses. Verses 39 and 40 as the chapter concludes. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. How many listened to President Trump's State of the Union address a couple weeks ago? How many here saw the speech or listened to it, read it? Well, regardless of your political position, regardless of your opinion of the president or of his speech, I think you would all agree with me that there were portions of the speech that were very touching and very impressive. And those were his references to people and their stories that he pointed out in the audience. You saw the speech, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the people and their stories that he pointed out, I don't see how there could have been a dry eye in the audience. He referred to a Coast Guard petty officer who saved over 40 lives in Houston, Texas during Hurricane Harvey. Then there was a firefighter who rescued 60 children trapped in a California campground during the wildfires. There was a policeman and his wife from Albuquerque who adopted a baby born to a drug-addicted mother, and they named the little girl Hope. I'm starting to tear up just thinking about these. There was an Army staff sergeant who saved the life of his fellow soldier after that soldier was severely wounded by an IED near Raqqa, Iraq. And then there was that North Korean defector who had been tortured and then escaped and now works diligently to help other fellow North Koreans escape the oppressive regime in that country. And as the audience was responding to his story in applause, he stood and he held up his crutches in victory. These people are true heroes. What is a hero? A hero really isn't a special superhuman person. A hero isn't really a heroic person. A hero is somebody who rises to the occasion, who does what is right, who just does what needs to be done at the time. A hero is not somebody who is without fear, but is somebody who acts in spite of their fear. A hero is somebody that you look up to, somebody that you admire, that you respect, somebody that you want to be like. Everybody has heroes when they're growing up. Who were your heroes when you were a kid, when you were growing up? My heroes were the Lone Ranger, dating myself, the Rifleman, baseball player Johnny Bench. Some of you remember him. Those were my heroes. But to be honest with you, my greatest hero of all, when I was a kid and today, as I'm about to turn 60 years old, this individual is still my hero. My father. My dad. I never saw my dad leap a tall building with a single bound. My dad wasn't faster than a speeding bullet or more powerful than a locomotive. My dad was a hero of faith. My dad always believed. My dad always hoped. My dad always trusted God, no matter what. And it was my dad who inspired my faith and my trust in God. As I mentioned previously, my dad was a Volkswagen dealer. In fact, he had two locations for his business. And I'll never forget the day when one of those locations, the main building, caught fire and burned to the ground. I heard the call and I rushed to the scene to be there with my dad. And as I stood there next to him across the street, because the fire was so hot that it had to be fought from across the street, his business burning to the ground, I'll never forget, as he and I stood there watching the flames consume his business, my dad said this, and I quote, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's the kind of faith my dad has. A hero, a true hero, is somebody who allows their faith to overcome their fear. A true hero is somebody who trusts God no matter what. The greatest hero of all is a hero of faith, a believer in God who lives by and walks in faith, who is all in their faith. I love the stories here in Hebrews chapter 11 of God's special heroes of faith. They were people who truly lived out their faith no matter what, against all odds, no matter what things looked like. And they were commended for our faith, and that's the kind of faith that we, that you, that I need to have in God. So that one day, if we're not previously called up in the rapture, when people will gather around to say goodbye to us, they can say he, she was all in their faith. They were a hero of faith. God's people must live by faith. Faith is not based on what if. We all have a lot of what ifs. It's not based on what if, but rather it's based on I know whom in high have believed, and I know that he is able. Without faith, you cannot please God. You cannot serve God. You cannot live in obedience to God. You cannot live in victory. You cannot be an overcomer. These heroes of faith, they serve to inspire us. They encourage our faith. They set the example for us to follow. They believe God. They were all in their faith. How about you today, my friend? Just what was it that made these people in Hebrews 11 heroes of faith? There's four things that I see here, and I'll be up front with you right now. We won't get to all four today. So you'll have to come back next time for the next installment. To be continued, as they say. But the first thing that I notice here in this chapter about these heroes of faith is that they saw their future by faith. They saw their future by faith. You see, the truth is, we cannot do anything about the future. When you wake up in the morning, you have no idea what that day will hold. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can't do anything about the future, but God can. The future isn't in our hands. It's out of our control, but it is in God's hands. The future is a place where we are not there yet, but God is already there. I want to say that again so you get a hold of that truth. The future is a place where we are not there yet, but God is already there. And He has promised to walk through the present and into the future with us. And we would do well to take His hand and to walk in faith and trust Him. I was just thinking about last week. We went to Riverside to be with our grandkids, and one of the things I absolutely love to do is I love to pick my grandson up from school. He's in first grade. I just love to go there and wait for him outside his class, and he comes out. He's so excited that Papa's there to pick him up from school. And we walk out of the building across the campus at Harvest Christian School there that he attends, and I don't have to prompt him. I don't have to say, give me your hand, Gavin. He just automatically reaches up and takes Papa's hand. Because he knows that I'm going to lead him the right way. I'm going to take him the way of safety. That everything's going to be okay when his hand is in Papa's hand. That's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. That we reach up and we take his hand. And we walk in faith, and we trust in where He leads us. Look at Abraham, for example, in verses 11 and 12. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. God had made Abraham a promise concerning his future against all odds. You know, I'm glad that God doesn't work on the odds. God doesn't care about the odds. Well, the odds of that happening are 50 to 1. God isn't interested in odds. God doesn't care about the probabilities or the possibilities. God works on His power. And He always keeps His promises. God is always true to His Word. If God said it, you can believe it. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Abraham trusted God's promise and he was rewarded for his faith. Abraham refused to be discouraged by his present reality. You know, we look at the reality, we focus on the facts, on the situation, on the reality. Well, the reality is this. This just can't happen. This just won't work. This just can't be. There's just no way out of this. God doesn't deal with our reality. God works on His promises. And the truth of His Word and the power that He has. God gave Abraham a promise that he would bear a son, and that promise was given at the age of 90. Don't forget, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're still here, God's not finished with you yet. See, our limitations are not limitations to God. The promise was given at the age of 90, and it was fulfilled at the age of 100. And if you look at the story way back in Genesis chapter 15, in verses 4 through 6, in Genesis 15, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside, and he said, look at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And here's the key. Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord. And he credited it to him as righteousness. Wow. Friend, do you want to be known as a righteous man? A righteous woman? A godly person? Do you want to be known as a man or woman of God? Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Walk in that faith. And it will be credited to you as righteousness. want to see God's will done in your life? You want to see God's promises fulfilled in your life? Trust Him. And what He has said, the Bible says, that will He bring about. Abraham was all in his faith. Look at Joseph. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Before his life was even over, he looked ahead by the promises of God in faith. And he even said, when you get to the promised land, take my bones with you. Don't leave me in Egypt. God's given me a promise of a better place ahead. Take my bones along and bury them in the promised land that is to come. Have you ever been on a twisting, winding Southern California mountain road? We got some pretty cool roads around here, don't we? I think that's probably why all the car magazines, they do all their vehicle tests in Southern California. Because of all the twisting, winding, up and down hilly roads that we have. I love the road to Big Bear. How many of you have been on the road up to Big Bear? It's quite an experience just getting up there and back down in one piece. The twists and the turns, the ups and the downs, the hairpin turns. It's unbelievable. Sometimes you can see where you're going, what's ahead of you. Sometimes the turns are just so sharp, you can't see anything beyond the next curve and you just don't know what's coming. And I always hope that as I round the next curve, there's not somebody coming toward me in my lane. But you just keep going, up and down, around all of those sharp curves. And eventually, that road ends up in a beautiful place in the mountains by the lake. Joseph's life was a lot like the road to Big Bear. If you know the story of his life, and I don't have time to recount it now, but suffice it to say that his life had a lot of twists and a lot of turns. It had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. A lot of things that he could easily say, well, boy, I sure didn't see that one coming. But in spite of everything that happened to Joseph, he remained true. He remained faithful to God. He followed God and he trusted Him. He trusted Him even in his death. My friend, what happens to you in life or in death is in God's good hands. And Joseph was able to speak, as we say, of the coming Exodus and his bones leaving Egypt and taken along to the promised land. He spoke of the future as a present reality in God. I remember when I was in the army, and my battalion commander would give me a project or an instruction or an order or something to do. He'd call me in and say, Chaplain, I got a project for you. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the deadline. Here's when I want you to present this to me. And the answer that you were expected to give was always, yes, sir. Consider it done, sir. Consider it done. In other words, I haven't actually done it yet, but I give you my word, I give you my promise that it will be done to the degree that you can put confidence in this, that you can consider it as if it's already done. That's the kind of faith and trust that we can have in God, because with God, His promises are already done. Whether we can see it now or not, His promises are so sure and so certain that God can say to you and to me, consider it done. You can count on my word. You can trust my promises. We should not say, what if, but rather, I believe. I believe. Will you face your future by faith? Will you put your tomorrows into His hands? Will you trust God and see what He will do for you? They put their future in God's hands. And they saw their future by faith. Secondly, these heroes of Hebrews chapter 11, they followed God in faith. They followed God in faith. You see, here's the principle. Faith must not just be spoken. I want you to get this. Faith must not just be spoken. Now, I know speaking the word is important. I know speaking in faith is important. I know that. But it's not enough. Faith must not just be spoken. It must be demonstrated. There's a lot of people who speak in faith and do nothing. That's not faith. They're just words. God's looking for you to show your faith, to prove your faith by walking in obedience. True faith must be demonstrated. Real trust always results in obedience. In fact, the Bible clearly says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is meaningless. James talks about it quite a bit in his letter. In fact, in chapter 1 of James, verses 22 through 25, he says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, somebody say doing it. But doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. How many here want to be blessed? You want to live in God's blessing. You want to live a blessed life. Here's how to do it. It's not complicated. It's not easy to do, but it's not complicated. Live in obedience. Act on your faith. Trust God and prove it. And then he continues in chapter 2, James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, he says, if a man claims to have faith? In other words, he just says stuff that sounds good. He speaks the religious lingo. You know, in church, he says the right words. He has the words of faith. If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, what good is it? Can such faith save him? And now he gets practical. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed. In other words, if somebody comes and says, I need this or I need that, and you say, okay, good, I'll pray for you. You know, a lot of times we use that as a cop-out so we don't have to do anything. Come on. I'll pray for you. I've fulfilled my obligation as a Christian. I'm praying for you. And then half the time we forget to do that. Uh-oh. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. None of you do that. Say you're going to pray for somebody and forget. I'll just pray. No, he says, you got to do more. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Somebody knocks on the door of our church next week and says, I'm hungry, I need some food. I heard you have a food pantry here at Gateway Assembly. And we say, well, we used to. But we don't anymore. Because we ran out of food. And no more came in. That's not in my notes. God just put that in my head. Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. See, we can have all the right theology. But if we don't act on our faith, it's meaningless. Even the demons know theology. But you foolish man, he says in verse 20, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and that his faith was made complete by what he did. And scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Now let's make something clear, church. We are not saying, this does not mean that we are saved by works. We're not saved by our deeds. We're not saved by our actions. We're not saved by obedience. No, we're only saved by the grace of God. But it does mean that we prove our salvation. We prove that our faith is real by our obedience. I've shared this before, one of the most powerful quotes I've ever come across. And it's this. The only scripture you truly believe is the one you obey. Let that sink in for a minute. The only scripture you truly believe is the one you obey. In other words, faith requires action. You know, when Linda and Jason and I, for so many years, were believing God, believed that He wanted us to leave Pennsylvania and move to Southern California. We had to put our faith and our trust in Him. We were continuing to do our best to trust Him that He would work everything out. But there came a time when we had to put our faith in action. We had to leave Pennsylvania. And we have to move to California. The fact is, Linda and I could have sat at Burger King. Here, I often told you that we go to McDonald's and have a lot of serious discussions over McFlurries. Some of you newer folks haven't heard this, but if you ever go to McDonald's and you see Linda and I sitting over in a corner eating McFlurries, better leave us alone. I'm just kidding you. Just kidding. Back in those days in Pennsylvania, we had the local Burger King we would hang out at and discuss all the serious things in our lives. But there came a day, you know, we could have sat at Burger King, but there came and talked about God's promises, talked about our faith, talked about trusting God, talked about moving to Southern California. But friends, nothing would have happened. Nothing could happen until we put our toes in the water and we took action and we stepped out in faith. Faith without works, faith without obedience, faith without action is dead, and it will accomplish nothing and change nothing. But Faith in action. Faith in action changes everything. And God will honor it. Look lastly at Noah and Abraham. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. It says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And by his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. You know, there's a couple key words here in these verses. For Noah, the word is built. Built. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And for Abraham, the key words were obeyed and went. When called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and he went. These are action words. These are words of obedience. And notice further that they did these things, they obeyed, they took these actions when there was every reason not to. Sometimes we can come up with a long list of all the reasons why it won't work. Of all the reasons why this is crazy. Believe me, we did it. We made a list of all the reasons that we would be out of our minds to leave Pennsylvania and move to Southern California because we had no idea what we were going to do when we got here. And our families added things to that list. Every reason not to follow God. Every reason not to obey. Every reason not to trust. Every reason not to do these crazy things for Jesus. Noah built the ark on dry land. You don't build a boat on dry land. How stupid is that? There wasn't any water around. I still wonder about all these people in the desert that have boats. They got to drive them a long way. There was no rain to be seen, but he builds a boat. You see, friends, we know what happened, but Noah didn't. We know what the story was going to unfold. Noah had no idea. Abraham, he went, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He went off to a strange land and he forgot to stop at the 7-Eleven before he left and get a map. And he didn't check Google Maps. It just slipped his mind. And he left his GPS at home. He obeyed and he went, even though he had no idea where he was going. How crazy is that? You know, God's done some awesome things through people who were crazy for God. They acted in faith. They followed God on His Word alone. They acted in faith without direct knowledge of the situation or understanding of what was going to happen. We know the end of the story. We know what happened, but they were in the middle of it. And they put action to their word, to their faith. And they were all in their faith. They were all in their actions. They were all in following God. I wonder, can you trust? Can you obey? Can you follow on God's word alone? On God's word alone. Imagine one day God says to you, I want you to pack up your belongings. I want you to leave home and follow me. And trust me to lead you. You would probably say this, okay God, just exactly where is it we're going? And then God will probably say, that's not important. What do you mean that's not important? You're asking me to pack up and leave and go somewhere and I don't know where I'm going and you tell me it's not important? No, God said it's not important. What's important is you just go and you trust me. And when you get to the intersection, I'll tell you then which way to turn. That's faith. You see, the principle, my friends, is this. So often we do not understand. But in spite of that, we must follow in faith. Again, faith without following, without obedience, without action is meaningless. People so often say, just speak faith. Yes, speak faith. Speak it into action. Speak it into action. Speak it into obedience. Speak it into following. Speak it into building when God says you to build. Speak it into going when God tells you to go. Seek His will. Seek His direction. Know His word. Know His promises to you. Friend, don't wait until you have it all planned. Don't wait until you have it all figured out. That doesn't take any faith. If you've got it all figured out, where's the faith? Trust Him for the details. Trust Him for the turn-by-turn directions. Trust Him to be your GPS. Trust Him for the next step. Pray and believe. Trust and act. Come in prayer and go in faith. I wonder, what do you need from God today? What do you need from God today? Do you need prayer? Need something from God? Do you need to come to Him in faith? As I said, there's a lot more here for us in Hebrews 11. We'll save it for another time. But for right now, here's what you need to do. Learn from and follow the example of these heroes of faith, who saw their future by faith, who followed God by faith. Will you, like them, follow God in faith? Will you put your future into His hands? Will you put your faith into action today? In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come up for prayer. Whatever you need, whatever your situation, maybe it's healing, maybe it's provision, maybe it's something else. God's here today. And if you'll step out in faith and come to Him, I believe that He will meet you here at these altars. So we're going to pray, but just before we do that, I want to ask you to let God speak to your heart through this incredibly powerful song by Cutlass. What faith can do. Let God minister to you through this song.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains.
that's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard, impossible is not a word, it's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep.
Church, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for your need today. We have a very special need that we want to go to the Lord for. And I want to call Brother Dallas. Where's Glenda? Is she here? There she is, sitting right in front. Dallas is going in for open heart surgery this Thursday. And we're going to believe God for you, Dallas. You're going to go in faith. And God is going to reward that faith. I want to ask the board members if you would come. Please join me. Minister Stanley, if you would come, join with me. We're going to gather around. A couple of you want to gather in behind. And I want to ask all the rest of you to just join with us in a prayer of agreement. Praise God.
His blood pressure is acting up real bad.
Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Oh God, we know that you are the God of the impossible. You are a God for whom there is nothing too difficult. You are the God of healing. Lord, you're still the same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. You're still the same as when you walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem. And Lord, we know that you are able to heal completely and totally. And we just gather around. And whether we lay hands on our brother and sister, whether we extend our hands, we pray together. Lord, we know that there is power in prayer and there's power in united prayer. When two or three agree on any one thing in your name, it shall be done. And we stand on that word. We stand on your promises in the name of Jesus. So we pray for Dallas right now. Lord, we pray for his blood pressure that is elevated. We pray for his physical situation. And we pray especially for this surgery that he is going to have this week. God, that you will go ahead of him. Lord, it is yet a few days in the future, but You're already there. It's down at Loma Linda, but You're already there. You're already in that operating room. You're already in that hospital, God. You're already with those surgeons. And Lord, we pray for a victory. We pray for complete and successful surgery. We pray for complete and total healing in His body, that You would restore Him, renew Him. Lord, that You would give Him many more years. Lord, that He would come out not only healed, but with a song in His lips and a testimony in His heart. We thank You, Lord. We trust You that it's going to be all right. We pray for Sister Glenda.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just as hard to be the one watching, the one waiting. Lord, will You be with her? Will You give strength? Will You give peace? You promise the peace that passes all understanding, that it will guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. So we lift them both before You. And Lord, as they head down to Loma Linda this week, let them feel Your presence. Let them know that strength and that peace, the confidence that You are a good and a mighty God, and they can rest in You. So we pray, God, that You would just wrap Your arms round about Dallas and Glenda and the entire family. And God, we know that every prayer request is a testimony about to happen.
Thank You, Jesus.
And we thank You for complete and total healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, in the name of Jesus. We pray and we trust and we believe.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Praise God.
Pastor, I know this is unusual, but can I please sing a verse in a course of a song?
Sing a little song, and while she's doing so, anybody else you would like prayer? Brothers, I want you came out, I want you to stay up here if you wouldn't mind. Anybody else that would like prayer, I want to invite you to come out, and we want to pray for you too, okay?
Yeah, while I'm doing this, so just ignore me unless you feel like you got to listen. But this is basically going to be my testimony, because this is where I am.
There are times that I feel I cannot go one step more down this lonely narrow road. Then I remember Jesus too, felt the trials I'm going through. So I'll walk on by faith and not by feeling.
Yes, Lord.
Thank yes, you, I Lord. Am living by faith and not by
praise
feeling.
Jesus.
All yes, my Lord. Doubts are now gone and I'm believing.
Thank you, Jesus.
If I never feel a thing, I'll trust in Jesus just the same. And I'll walk on by faith and not by feeling.
God. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. Love you.
Love you.
Anybody else? Come and get it while the getting's good. The Spirit of God is here to minister to you. Come on up. Anybody else want to come up? Gentlemen. Praise God. Anybody else, come on up. Would you like prayer? Yes, how can we pray?
Soften my heart and break me apart.
to open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. And all I am, I surrender. Give me faith, trust what you what you say, that you're good.